The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Tip off your weekend with our next star-studded NBA Friday night doubleheader tonight. We've got LeBron and the Lakers in Charlotte against LaMelo and the Hornets, and that'll be followed by the Knicks taking on Giannis and the Bucks. We'll be here to start your night 7 Eastern tonight with NBA Countdown on ESPN and the ESPN app. Let's go. It is time to get up right now.
I'm letting all y'all know, dude. Y'all all hot.
Load the bazooka up. Boom.
What in the flying fudge is going on?
You're going to get up.
This isn't Jeopardy, but it could be.
You see that? You see that?
He was real reflectionary.
We're going to let Marcus fly. I don't make up new words.
Differenary.
What the flying fudge is going on here?
The locker room is going to be very changeful.
What in the flying fudge is going on right now?
Why does D-Wood look like that?
He got indigestion.
We will allow you to dance.
There it is. Do the dance.
With 13 seconds left, Mike McCarthy texted Jerry Jones and said, this game's over. 13 seconds, not enough time to do anything.
I have been to the ice cream machine at McDonald's plenty of times, and it never works.
What the fudge are they doing?
Bart over here huffing and puffing, going to try to blow my house down.
Woo-hoo! To welcome you into the legal offices of Tannenbaum, Greenberg & Associates.
Every week I'm expected to laugh at
it. It works every week, though.
He's satisfactionary, man.
He's different.
Add it to the list.
What is going on?
We have so much fun here every morning, and we are so grateful every time you choose to get up with us. We have about a huge hour coming your way on this Football Friday, live as always from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. Lots and lots of football news out there, and it begins in Dallas, where Mike McCarthy has been told he will be back, and Dan Quinn is returning as defensive coordinator as well. So that seems like, all right, we're pretty stable here. Then you get to Sean Payton, who goes on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday, analyzing the playoffs. And get a load of this. He asks to analyze how the Cowboys' season ended. Listen.
So then ask me the end of the Cowboys game, and let me see if I can do this better.
Okay. What did the Cowboys do wrong in this situation?
Well, look, they're trying to get in field. They're trying to get in touchdown range, and they ran a draw. We typically would throw a pass and down. Ultimately, I think two more steps for Dak. He's got to slide a little quicker. He's up. Ball has to go to the umpire. Then let's go. We can never hand the ball to the center.
May I just say thank you to my friend Dan Patrick and to Sean Payton for providing us with that delightful moment, which I think is significant. Okay, so look, let's start with Dan, the first part of that. Mike McCarthy has been told he's coming back. We didn't know that. Jerry Jones hasn't told the world that. For it to come out the way it came out was kind of unusual. What can you tell us?
Well, I think, I mean, Jerry Jones is convinced that Mike McCarthy's the right guy for the job. Obviously, he was disappointed with the way the season ended. But big picture, he felt like, you know, the season went well and Mike McCarthy set the right tone for the team. He wants to bring him back. He also can't get Sean Payton right now. Sean Payton's under contract with the Saints for 3 more years, even though he's stepping away. So you'd have to make a trade with the Saints. And then you factor in that Sean Payton, I do believe, is serious about wanting to kind of step back and take a breath before and even if he gets back into coaching down the line. So I think, you know, running it back with the same crew that won the division this year, I think, is the way Jerry ultimately decided to go.
All right, so we'll see if that winds up working out for him. And when we talked at great length about the microscope that McCarthy would have been under anyway, but now that is magnified by the presence of Sean Payton. Next question for you, Ryan Clark, is this. Sean is a person who is known to like to be in control of everything. Well, in Dallas, we know there's one person in control of everything, and it isn't whoever the coach is. So, RC, if Sean has options next offseason, and one would assume he will, is that the best job for him?
It depends on what you prioritize. If you prioritize being in complete control of everything, then hell no, it ain't the job you want, right? Because you know you have to not work with Jerry Jones, you have to work under Jerry Jones. But if you've been there before and then you've been with the New Orleans Saints and you feel like you've gotten jobs so many times and you didn't necessarily have the juice of the organization behind you, then that's the place you want to be. If you want to truly be a star, is he revered in New Orleans? Have I seen billboards as I'm driving up I-10 the last week and this week? Hell yeah. I've seen Sean Payton's face more times than I've ever wanted to see it. But they don't have a team, or they didn't have an ownership that was respected by the league in the sense that it was almost fear. But Jerry Jones is. Now, does that mean you're going to get every call? No. Does that mean that everything's going to go your way? No, because they ain't won a championship in 25 years. But it does mean that if you need your owner to have your back, and if you need your organization to have some sort of say so, that's the place to be. It's also where you need to be if you want to be a star. And Sean Payton has been there before. He's felt what it's like in that building before. And I think that's why that could be a place for him. And I also believe Jerry will treat him differently as a head coach than he does most others.
Yeah, Diana Russini brought up a lot of that stuff about the juice. Dan, were you going to make that point? Diana was talking about that at length here yesterday.
No, I was going to just underline what RC's saying. It's not like the coach of the Cowboys just sits there and says, yes, sir, and accepts everything that Jerry Jones. I mean, Mike McCarthy's in the meetings.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn was able to have input on the kinds of players he wanted to pursue in free agency last year. So it's a collaborative effort. And remember, Sean Payton and Jerry Jones have a very close relationship.
Yes, he was there. Jerry Jones has bemoaned the one that got away being Sean Payton. But the reality is Jerry Jones is standing outside the locker room talking to the media after every game, win, lose, or draw. And that is unusual in the NFL. So, Sacho, what do you think? If Sean Payton has options, and he will. There were all, right? I mean, there were 9 coaching vacancies this offseason. There are always a handful at minimum. Is that going to be the best place for him?
No. I think the best place for Sean Payton would be, once he gets his job in media, to remain in the media. I get it. We always talk about these coaches have the itch to go back, right? The love of the game. And I understand that, the itch, the love. But sometimes it's not really the itch or the love. Sometimes it's your ego. You'll be getting paid just as good being in the booth talking about the game. You'll be getting paid just as good and probably have a better lifestyle being in the booth. There are so many coaches who go back after 10 years, 5 years, 2 years in the media to coaching, and it doesn't always go well. And so for me, I would take your chance in the media, continue to get better, continue to see how you like it, but don't rush back to the same old thing you used to do. He talked in that interview about mastery. He said he wanted to be the best. So continue, you mastered it in the NFL as a coach. Now master it in the media.
It's an interesting way to look at it. I mean, it has been my experience, and this goes through all sports, that there is just something about these coaches, not all of them, but most of them, that just brings them back.
What a difference.
Go ahead, RC. Right, there's just something about them. It's I don't want to use the word sickness, but there's something they can't not do it.
Yeah. Listen, Greeny, I love being on this show with you. I truly enjoy my job right now. But the only reason I ain't playing football no more is because I can't. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not because I didn't want to anymore. It was because I reached a point to where I no longer had the opportunity, and I also no longer wanted to work that hard to do it again. The risk reward was different. But when you think about coaching, there ain't no age limit on that as long as you're good at it. Bill Belichick's 70 years old, but he's still great at it. And when you only had one passion, when there was only one job you ever wanted in your life and you could still do it, it's just different. And I think that's what we have to understand about these men, is that they worked from GAs and quality controls and position coaches and coordinators to get that one job, which is to be a head coach, and they still have that opportunity. That's the difference between playing and coaching. And so to me, if Sean Payton has an opportunity that he thinks works for him, that's going to be a great place for him to continue his career in coaching, I believe he goes back to do it, because it's such an opportunity to continue to fulfill a passion that people will pay you to do.
Yeah, I think, Sacho, what you're saying makes perfect sense to me. It has been my experience. Most of them don't follow that advice, but some of them certainly do. We'll see where it goes. Meanwhile, Ninko, I want you to hear something else Sean Payton said when they asked him at his news conference when he was stepping away from New Orleans about his greatest regrets. Listen to what he said.
My biggest regret first, besides the Ninkovich debacle, would be the double reverse against Tampa Bay.
The Ninkovich debacle. Ninko, what is that?
I mean, yeah, I was there, and then I got hurt, and then they released. But then they brought me back as a snapper. I mean, we all know the story. I was a long snapper before I started 150 games now, in the league.
Let me make it clear. The world doesn't all know the story. Go ahead, Ninko. Tell it to us.
Okay, so I was originally drafted by the Saints in the fifth round. I made the team as the third defensive end behind Will Smith and Charles Grant. So I had a lot of playing experience in my rookie year. In the third game of the year, the opening game against the Falcons in the Superdome, I tore my ACL, MCL, PCL, meniscus, and I tore a chunk of my cartilage out of my knee. So that was a tough one to come back from. So when I came back from that the next year, I had a small MCL tear on my other knee. So then what they did was released me on a Thursday night home opening game on the road. Right before the game, they released me. So I was a little angry about that. So then I got cut, got picked up by Miami, had a great year in 07, 1-15. So much. Whoa, my son's here. You got to get out of here, buddy. So anyway, come here real quick. Okay, this guy.
You need an haircut, bro.
There he is. Okay, go see your mom.
Let's leave Ninko to sort out his family. One way or another, you wound up in New England and you won a bunch of Super Bowls, so it turned out well for you.
So I'm in Miami. They bring me back as a long snapper. Sean basically says, hey, the only way you're going to make it here is as a long snapper. So I was released. I wasn't a long snapper there. Went off to play in New England for a long time. But I love Sean Payton. He gave me an opportunity to play. I met my wife down there in New Orleans. I love New Orleans. We had a house in New Orleans. I have family in New Orleans. So if it wasn't for Sean Payton, I wouldn't have this little guy that I just brought up into the TV screen. So it's
okay,
all a blessing.
Fair enough. Well, that's so he owes everything to Sean Payton, despite the Ninkovich debacle.
Yep.
Let's move on to another potential debacle, and that is Aaron Rodgers, who may very well have played his last game in Green Bay last Saturday night. He will try to follow in the footsteps of some other NFL legends, perhaps, and try and win championships in other places, like Peyton Manning. We all know the story. 13 years in Indy, went to the Broncos for his final 4 years, won an MVP, and ultimately won a Super Bowl. Tom Brady, immediate success after leaving the Patriots' first year in Tampa. You know the story. Winning the Super Bowl last year, knocking off Kansas City. And that brings us to Rodgers, a player of that caliber, that legendary status. Really try to force his way out of Green Bay to win a Super Bowl elsewhere. His old offensive coordinator is now the head coach in Denver. But Damian Woody says going there would be a mistake.
Bart named all these guys for the Denver Broncos, and rightfully so. But right. I got some names for you, too.
Yeah.
Okay, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Derek.
Let me finish. Josh Allen. So let me see. We've on this show talked many a time
about how there's levels to this, how there's different rooms in the Hall of Fame and all that type of stuff. And you mean to tell me, let me go to the AFC, particularly the AFC West.
That was pretty much my day yesterday, the two of them just yelling at each other. So I'm going to actually boil the conversation down to a simple question. Ryan Clark, I'll start with you. If Aaron Rodgers' primary concern is trying to win a Super Bowl as quickly as possible, there are any number of reasons people choose teams. But if that's his primary motivation, what's the best place for him to do that next year?
Green Bay. That's it. That's where I think it is. I think Green Bay is the team that's won 13 games the last 3 years. They've been to the NFC Championship two of those 3 years. And at some point, which I said early on, we're going to have to start looking at Aaron Rodgers. For some reason, we believe that any team that Aaron Rodgers goes to will win a championship. Well, that's not true because he only has one. Aaron Rodgers is not the LeBron James of football. Every team LeBron James goes to or has gone to since he made the decision to take his talents to South Beach has won a championship. That's not necessarily who Aaron Rodgers has been in this league. And so it's not I'm going to Denver and I got to play Patrick Mahomes twice. I got to play Justin Herbert twice. Derek Carr is also in my division. We have Joe Burrow. You have the Josh Allen. You have all of these other quarterbacks who play just as well. Whereas in the NFC, you haven't had that or they didn't have that and you still haven't won. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm looking for the best place to compete. A place to be loved. He's going to be loved in Green Bay. They've made concessions for Aaron Rodgers. They've changed things around contractually. They've given him a seat at the table, and they've won 13 games the last 3 years. The best place for Aaron Rodgers to be is still Green Bay to me.
Ninko, same question.
Yeah, I agree. I think Green Bay is the best spot for him. And listen, if you're Green Bay, and your quarterback says, hey, I either want to be traded or I want to retire, then I might say, okay, well, guess what? Go enjoy retirement. It'd be really hard for me to say, okay, we're gonna do whatever it takes to let you leave after you win your second MVP in a row. I'm sure he's going to win MVP this year again. So when was the last time a team traded away an MVP-winning player? Like, it's never happened. So why would you do that if you're Green Bay? That doesn't make sense. You got to keep Aaron Rodgers on your roster if you want to be competitive. What do the upper management always say? The best for the team. Well, yeah. Is trading Aaron Rodgers best for your team? No.
It seems like maybe a little bit of an agreement they made with each other before the season. Graz, what's the best spot for him to win next year?
I mean, honestly, if Brady retires, it's Tampa. That's where I'd go. Look, I think Green Bay's in some trouble. I think Green Bay's roster is going to look a lot different. I think he knows that. He talked about it after the game. They have serious cap problems. Davante Adams is a free agent. No guarantee at all that he's back. I've been all year, I said Green Bay was the best chance for him to win this year, but I don't know what their roster is going to look like next year. He's aware of these issues, and it's part of the reason that he wants out. But yeah, I mean, you know, Pittsburgh's going to need somebody. You know, there's some good teams.
There are places, and all signs right now are pointing to Denver, and we'll see if that's where he winds up going. I've made my pitch for Pittsburgh. We'll see if he winds up doing that. Maybe staying right where he was would be his best chance. We'll see. As we continue, we're staying in the division. Justin Fields has a new coach who, frankly, is not exactly known for being an offensive mind. Did the Bears make a mistake with this hire yesterday? We'll hear from a super fan. Plus, Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning. That was the best rivalry in football this century. Are we now on the cusp of the next one? We'll answer that question next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we're back on this busy Football Friday. Graziano, let's run the hurry up, beginning with the latest coaching news as teams try to fill these vacancies.
Yeah, Josh McDaniels, the Patriots offensive coordinator, now an interesting name for the Las Vegas Raiders. They put in a request yesterday to interview him. Serious candidate for their head coach position. Remember, years ago, he coached the Broncos. That didn't go so great. Ends up back in New England. And then he almost coached the Indianapolis Colts, but backed out of that at the last second. Could be the Raiders are the place he gets back in. We'll watch to see if he interviews there in the next couple of days. The New York Giants could have a head coach by this weekend, meaning tonight or tomorrow. They have Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier in for a second interview today. The other top candidates are Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll and former Dolphins coach Brian Flores. Those are the three choices it seems like for the Giants. Have narrowed it down. Decision likely coming soon. Chicago Bears have already made their decision. They've hired Matt Eberflus, who was the Indianapolis Colts defensive coordinator. Worked in Dallas for several years before that. Has been kind of kicking around the head coach carousel here for a number of years. Finally lands the job there with the Chicago Bears. First-time head coach, joining first-time GM Ryan Poles to try and get things turned around in Chicago.
Yes, and when that announcement was made, that very loud sound you heard from the city of Chicago was multiple million people saying, I'm sorry, what? They hired, who again was that? Matt Eber? Okay, so what we need to hear from today is one of the Bears super fans, and the good news is we have one, and his name is Ninkovich.
Yeah, so I have another, a letter was sent to me from the super fans, and I'll read it to you, and it's a good letter. It's pretty interesting, actually. Okay, here it goes. We, the Bears super fans, need an update on our current situation at head coach. The super fans have a very powerful network like no other. A super fan named Frank is a night shift clerk
security guard and attained a top secret envelope from the desk of McCaskey's desk on how they figured out who to hire the head coach. So we're going to open this up. We're going to see what they had to do here to hire the head coach. Okay?
Okay.
Wow. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Top secret stuff. Okay, here it is. This is the first thing. Fire Matt. Fire Ryan. Okay, here's the next thing. Hire Matt. Hire Ryan. I don't get that. I don't get it. The Bears super fans might be in for a long year again. I'm so sorry to say it. 8-9. I don't know. Matt Eberflus. I don't know how to say it correctly. We're from Chicago. We're Chi-Town guys. But guess what? We're going to have the brats going. We're going to have the beers going. And the Bears still got Ditka. We still got Walter Payton. And he's up there. He's making sure we're okay. So guess what? The Bears, maybe Super Bowl. Maybe not next year, though.
Okay.
Thank you. Sincerely, Bears super fans, I'm back. Okay.
Oh, that's well done. That's extremely well done. They did. They fired a general manager named Ryan and a head coach named Matt, and they hired a general manager named Ryan and a head coach named Matt, which is irrelevant but extraordinarily coincidental. Sacho, you are a former Bear. You still live in the Chicago area, if I'm not mistaken. What do you think of this?
Well, I'm excited about it, but not for the reason a lot of people think. I'm really excited about the Ryan Poles hire. You look at what he did in Kansas City, right? He's a former offensive lineman, actually undrafted free agent for the Bears. He came to Kansas City and helped build that team. Not only was he in the scouting department for college, but also for NFL. So he has experience, right? He built an offensive line that's dominant, built a defensive line that's dominant. So that helps me say he's a good decision maker. Now, when it came to the head coach in Matt Eberflus or Eberflus, Ryan Poles made that decision. It wasn't the search committee that was hired. It wasn't McCaskey. It was Poles, right? He made that decision. And so if I trust Poles with decisions that he makes in Kansas City, getting players and scouting them, I'm going to trust him with this decision and finding the right coach, not only for the entire team, but also for his career. He understands very well that his career and his success is tied to his head coach. And so because I trust Ryan Poles, I trust Matt Eberflus.
And clearly everything is then tied to the development of the young quarterback in Justin Fields. RC, obviously the hiring of a new offensive coordinator here will be the key to that. How does all this impact Fields at this point?
I think it's huge, and I think Ryan Poles has to have that as a part of his decision-making when you get Matt Eberflus. Who is going to be your offensive coordinator? What would be that guy's style? What can he do to help Justin Fields? The selection of the offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears for the 2022 season is the second biggest decision they've made, and the first was moving up to get Justin Fields, and he has to succeed. You heard Sacho say that Ryan Poles' career is connected to Matt Eberflus. It's also connected to the success of Justin Fields in my mind. He has to ascend. He has to be successful. This team has to become a playoff team. He has to become a Pro Bowl caliber player, and so whoever is in charge, right? Whoever's the guy that has to take Justin Fields to the next level needs to be one, in my opinion, that's maybe had head coaching experience already, but has definitely been a successful offensive coordinator in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, they keep trying. They're going right to Graz. I had 10 seconds here, but they keep going after the Mahomes model, right? They got Matt Nagy out of Kansas City because he developed Mahomes. That's what they wanted. Now they go get another Kansas City guy to develop Justin Fields.
Yeah, they may be. Mike Kafka, who's on the Chiefs offensive staff as an assistant under Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, is a name to watch here. Obviously, the new GM, Ryan Poles, knows him from their time in Kansas City together. Not sure which direction we'll go, but that is one name to pay attention.
And that is a very important hire, and it's on the way. As we continue, the NFL's Final Four coming up on the back end of the best postseason ever. Who is going to be super this Sunday? Could we have two upsets? We'll answer those questions next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up. And if you go back over the course of this year, how many times have we said, could this be the next rivalry in the NFL like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady? We keep putting people together with Patrick Mahomes. All right, so for a while there, we would talk about, well, is it Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, right? That was the rivalry that we were wondering. Could that be it? Mahomes has won three of their four matchups. He's thrown 12 touchdowns and two picks. Lamar has not been quite as good in those. Mahomes 3-1. We thought that was the big rivalry. But then hold on. Last week, all anyone was talking about, well, Mahomes and Josh Allen. That's got to be the next great rivalry in the AFC in particular. Mahomes is 3-1 against Allen. Two of those are playoff wins. The one last week might have been the greatest game of all time. But hold on. Now he's playing Joe Burrow this weekend. What if Burrow wins? These teams squared off for the first time in week 17, or at least these quarterbacks' first meeting. Burrow wound up leading the Bengals to a comeback win. He had a huge day in that game. So part two of their head-to-head is right around the corner. So I will ask you, Ryan Clark, who is the guy you put with Mahomes? We keep trying to find it's Mahomes and who? Look in that crystal ball. Who will be Mahomes' great rival for the next decade?
Josh Allen. And I don't think that we can continue to question that. The other guys will play, right? There'll be the Ben Roethlisbergers. Obviously, like, if you look at the last, whatever, 18 Super Bowls or whatever it is, it's like Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, and the San Francisco 49ers. They've been in all of them. So right. There'll be those other guys that come into the picture. But I think Josh Allen is the one that can match Patrick Mahomes and his talent. He also has the team, at least right now, that is playing at a very high level. And when you look at the matchups between the two, it's the one we've seen so far where we go, okay, the guy standing on the other sidelines across from Patrick Mahomes can be just as good. And we haven't seen that with these other players. You haven't seen that from Lamar. Obviously, Joe Burrow is just getting his first opportunity. But we witnessed Josh Allen beat him early on in the season. And then when you saw the type of play we saw last Sunday night from Buffalo's young quarterback, I don't think we can deny him. I don't think we can keep him out of the elite tier of quarterbacks. He has arrived. Now, is he great yet? No, because great comes with championships and winning, but he's one of the best doing it right now, and I look forward to watching that rivalry for the next decade.
I'll remind everyone that Mahomes has Justin Herbert coming up in his division as well. Sacho, I was trying to read your facial expression there. Who do you think it is?
Well, no, there was someone going through my mind because RC, like, I actually rock with you on that, but you just said it with so much confidence, like there was no Joe Burrow, right? Like Joe Burrow didn't beat Mahomes in week 17 and outplay him, right? That's why my face was kind of, because I'm with you, right? Like you could easily say Josh Allen. The way that they lost, right? The way that the Bills lost, that's going to motivate them and fuel them for the future. But, and there's a big but, Joe Burrow has been playing with this chip on his shoulder. Joe Burrow is motivated and fueled for the future. Joe Burrow said to his fans, to the city, to the nation, get used to this. This is who we will be. He said last week, 5 days ago, I'm tired of being called the underdog. I'm going to prove everyone wrong. In his first matchup against Mahomes, he beat him handily. He had over 200 more passing yards than Mahomes. Not handily, but I mean, he outperformed him statistically, right? And so you have another matchup. If he outperforms him statistically again, it's hard to say that the Bengals won't be that long-term rival. Mm-hmm. For me, I don't think it's just one. I think it's many, but I do rock with you, RC. Just the confidence. So it was like, man, Joe Burrow don't exist. You know, that was my only thing.
It's certainly possible. Hey, Nico, I want to ask you a different question, which is to say, you were on those teams with Brady when you guys would play those great games against the Colts. Was it a bigger deal to him? Was it a bigger game to Brady, whether we admit it or not? Was that a bigger game to Tom when he was going up against Peyton Manning?
Well, it was always usually a bigger game for everybody because of the fact we were seeing a team in the regular season then playing them in the playoffs. So everything ramps up a little bit. And you think about the Colts, and then he went to the Broncos. We played the Broncos in the AFC Championship a couple times, in the playoffs a few times, so in the regular season as well. So those matchups were always heightened because you knew that you had the two best quarterbacks in the NFL playing against each other. So when you're on those teams, you were jacked up just as much because you knew that you were going to get the best from the other side. And that's all you want as a player. You want to play against the best. You want to compete. So I think that when you look across the league right now, Patrick Mahomes, obviously, you know, Joe Burrow, he might be the guy. He might be. I mean, Josh Allen, you think about Buffalo, they're losing their OC. That might be a little bit different if they don't have an offensive coordinator there that really uses Josh Allen the way that they did last year. So I'm going with Joe Cool Burrow because I think he's cool.
Graziano, what's the right answer?
Zach Wilson. No, I'm kidding. No, it could be. I don't know. Maybe. But no, I'm sorry. I ended the show prematurely. I think it's true. I like Burrow. I'm going to go with Burrow on this. I think the way he played against Kansas City is I've made the host
you
mad.
You shouldn't have done that,
I think
Dan.
I'm in trouble. I think the way Burrow played against Kansas City 3 weeks ago shows me that he's got the stuff inside of him. And I'm not going to be surprised if he beats him again on Sunday. I think he's got a shot to be
that. The saddest part of that is it took me a second to remember who that was. For one brief second, I was like, who? And I think so were a lot of people. All right, that's tragic. Let's go on the clock as we look ahead to championship. Oh, we're going to pick the game first. Sorry, my bad. We're going to pick the game. You threw me off with Zach Wilson. Sacho, who wins the AFC championship? Go.
Yeah, I think the Bengals win this game. I think they're going to remember what happened in the week one or the week 17, their first game. You're down. You stay in it. You have the offensive firepower to stay in it. You know what you're going to face. You faced this team before when you had to win your division. And you did it before. You will do it again. Cincinnati Bengals for the win.
I did not expect to see it be on that screen at all. Ryan Clark, who wins?
I'm going with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are playing at a very high level offensively right now. They've been there before, and it seems like Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs elevates his game even above as great as he is in the regular season. The Chiefs represent the AFC once again in the Super Bowl.
I've got Kansas City as a 7-point favorite. Graziano, who you got?
I've been looking for a reason to pick the Bengals because I want to pick the Bengals even though it's the Chiefs, and I know I shouldn't. Hembo told me teams that won in overtime in the wild card or divisional round are 7-18 the following week. Give me the Bengals.
Now, hold on a second.
Teams that won in overtime.
No, I know the stat. I used it on the air earlier this week. Am I misremembering this? Did you take Kansas City in our first hour today?
Nope, I switched late.
Okay.
I switched like
fair
wild.
Because I had it on my piece of paper. Okay. It took Kansas City.
It's been really making sure. It's
been really Zach torn Wilson, up my fanny. Rob Ninkovich, who you got in the AFC Championship game?
Should I be the one to flip-flop? I went with KC in the first hour. Should I go with Cincinnati in the second hour? I don't know who's going to win, but I'm going to go with Kansas City. I'm going with Kansas City. Kansas City, okay? Go with Kansas City.
Got it. All right, so we got it split down the middle in a 7-point game. You know, where the line is 7 points, that's a lot of confidence. But I guess it is Joe Burrow who has inspired a lot of that. All right, now we do go on the clock here. And, Sacho, I will start with you. So Aaron Rodgers' speculation at Denver is heating up. A lot of people wonder, is it the right thing for him to do to go to the AFC West where they are loaded with the good quarterbacks? What's the answer to that question? 30 seconds, go.
The answer is no. Aaron Rodgers should not go to Denver. He should not go to the AFC West. A few reasons. Number one, you don't know what your defense is going to look like. Von Miller was traded away. He is no longer there. Your defensive coordinator, your defensive-minded coach, Vic Fangio, is not there. Ed Donatell, who was calling plays, has been interviewing for other jobs. So, number one, you may not have the defense to stop the Patrick Mahomes of the world, to stop the Justin Herberts of the world, who, oh, by the way, was second in the NFL in passing yards. You don't want those problems. The problems you do want are the teams that you have quote-unquote owned in the Bears, the Lions, and the Vikings.
Yeah, he has owned that division, no question about it. Ninko, come to you on Tom Brady, who was non-committal on his future. What do you think his future is? 30 seconds, go.
I think Tom Brady is going to go right off into the sunset on a horse somewhere on a beach, a beautiful beach, and do whatever he wants to do because at the end of the day, he has checked off every single box. He's won 7 Super Bowls. He's been to how many Super Bowls? And I mean, it's just insane. Like, he's going to be the greatest quarterback to ever play. The stats are, I mean, he's off the charts. He just balled out again this year. Why give anyone the satisfaction to watch you slip away or slip into the end of your career? Don't give him the satisfaction. Don't give him the car crash that everyone wants to see. Don't do it, Tom. Right off into that sunset, baby.
Yep, 7 championships and 10 Super Bowls total, and the ones that he lost were each like this. All right, one more. RC, Big Ben officially retiring yesterday. You played with him a long time. What is your favorite Big Ben moment?
Oh, it's not even close. It's Big Ben's touchdown-winning drive in Super Bowl 43 with his pass to Santonio Holmes in the corner where he may have gotten 9 or 10 toes down or maybe only 5, but it really doesn't matter. When you look at what Ben was throughout his career, I think that's the moment that epitomizes the type of cool he had, the type of toughness he had, and the type of skill he had. He was a guy that made the big plays when you needed them to be made. We've seen that with all of his comeback wins, but none more important than that win down in Tampa Bay.
That was an unbelievable. The more times you watch that throw, the more remarkable it is. Holmes was actually named the MVP of that game. We got memories from all you guys. Ninko, what's your favorite Ben Roethlisberger memory?
Oh, I can't remember the exact year, but at one point I think he had an injured foot, and he played with two different size shoes on. That's pretty cool. Like, think about, like, your quarterback is that tough. And I also remember when I sacked him one time, the first time I ever wrapped my arms around him, I was like, oh my goodness, he's large. He's bigger than me. Like, I literally was worried about tackling to the ground because he was like the whole thing, you know, like, you know, it's, he had a big midsection now. He's a big boy.
He had a big midsection. Sacha, what is your favorite Ben Roethlisberger memory?
Speaking of big midsection, I remember when I tried to sack. I did sack. It counted as a sack, Ben Roethlisberger. I slid down his big midsection. They counted it as a sack, but I was like, I mean, this is like a hero for me, Ben Roethlisberger. That game that you saw, that touchdown that he threw, right? I was playing in college in the national championship that same year, watching this man make that throw, which two plays before, they almost made that same catch. So I love Big Ben. And so for that to be the first player I ever sacked my rookie year was everything. I still tell all my friends about it.
That play we just showed, they counted that as a sack?
They did. Quarterback protection. I held his leg. I could have done a little bit more harm. Watch. I could have just been mauled him and grabbed his ankle and broke it. But I said, you know, he's a hero. He's a great player. I don't want to hurt him. Let me take it easy on Big Ben. And then they blew the whistle. I said, all right, guys, I'll take it easy. Next time, I won't hit him as hard. You're right. I took it easy on Big Ben. Look at him. Look at him. He said, thank you, Sam, for taking it so easy on me.
It's like on the bat pole. I mean, okay, it's a sack. Fair enough, it counts in the stats. We roll on. We're going back to the games. Aaron Donald and the Rams have not been able to solve Jimmy G and the Niners. They've played twice this year. Will the third time be the charm? We will answer that question next, and we'll see if Graziano can answer this one from Hembo. Here we go. What was the first team to reach the Super Bowl as a wild card, as the 49ers are aiming to do? That's the question. The answer's next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we are back, and this is a good question here from Sneaky Hembo for Graziano. So the 49ers are trying to make it to the Super Bowl as a wild card. That's something many teams have done before. Who was the first team to reach the Super Bowl as a wild card? And Hembo put on here, I need a year and a team.
10 teams have done it, in fact. And the first to win it was the 1980 Raiders, but they were not the first to make it as a wild. I told him not to test me with Super Bowl stuff. The 1975 Dallas Cowboys of Roger Staubach, Drew Pearson, Ed Too Tall Jones that lost to the Steelers are the answer.
Wait a minute. According to Hembo, there's one before.
No.
The correct answer is the 1969 Chiefs, who finished second behind the Raiders in the AFL West They would go on to beat the Vikings in Super Bowl IV. Now, I am launching your, I'm launching
wild card
your inquiry.
Until 1970.
That's
the NFL.
Correct. That is pre-merger. Hembo, I don't think that should count. Hembo's working from home today. I don't think this counts.
No,
I'm not counting it. I'm not counting it. Hembo, you can talk all you want over there with your silly text. I say that is an unfair question.
Yeah.
I refuse to allow the scoreboard to go up and show Graziano being behind. I'm launching an inquiry. It doesn't matter they didn't win their division. That wasn't the NFL at the time. No, not fair. Not fair. That's an unfair question. Next, where are we? Either or. Let's go. Sacho, looking ahead to this weekend. Jimmy G, Matthew Stafford. Who's got the bigger game coming? Who you got?
It's got to be Matthew Stafford. He has too many weapons offensively. Odell Beckham Jr. has started to find his groove. Cooper Kupp, the Triple Crown leader, continues to make plays. Sony Michel is back there healthy as well. I think it's easy. I think it's Matthew Stafford, and I think he's going to have a big, big, big day.
Let's go to the receivers. RC, Debo or Cooper Kupp? Who you got?
You know, I'm taking Debo, and not necessarily because it's just about the passing yard, just the way that Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers offense use him. Go back to last week against the Green Bay Packers. They have a 3rd-and-7 that's basically a must-have, and they turn around and hand the ball to Debo Samuel the week before. You get an interception, what do? Give the ball to Debo Samuel, and it's a touchdown in the run game. I think he's used like an athlete in high school that was a 5-star. Just get him the ball.
Everybody picked him this week on this show. Graziano, Trent Williams or Aaron Donald?
This is a hard one. These might be the two best players in the whole league. Give me Trent. If I hadn't seen this play, maybe I would have said Aaron Donald. But give me Trent on the move. I hope for their sake that he plays. Obviously, if he doesn't, it's Aaron Donald. But I think Trent Williams is a key to the 49ers.
Well, let's pick up on that. He's got an ankle, right? What are you hearing about his status?
Yeah, he's got a sprained ankle. Hasn't practiced this week. Obviously, they hope he gets out on the practice field today. But Kyle Shanahan, Trent Williams, both seem convinced he will find a way to be out there on Sunday. Has played hurt before.
All right, you almost can't overstate the importance of him to that team. When they meet this weekend, it'll be the 23rd time since the merger that a team went 2-0 against an opponent in the regular season, then faced them again in the playoffs. The team completed the sweep 14 of the previous 22 instances. So the team that was 2-0 is 14-8 in that game, which sort of disputes the idea that it's so hard to beat a team a third time. Ryan Clark, you have experience in this. I remember you playing the Ravens. So it's happened at least once in your career. You played a team a third time and swept them all.
Yeah.
What is how would you describe what it's like playing a team a third time after you've beaten them twice?
It really wasn't that hard, Green. I mean, you want to be honest. Like, I mean, you don't think about the first two games in that sense that, we beat them twice. Now it's going to be more difficult this game. You think about why you beat them, how you beat them, and you figure out, if they're going to throw a ball to Willis McGahee down the seam, how to make sure that it's one of the last plays of the football game. And so I think when you look at the San Francisco 49ers and their dominance over the Rams, that gives them excitement. That gives them some comfort, some familiarity. And it's also a little contempt there. And so when I'm looking at San Fran, Kyle Shanahan, and what they've been to Sean McVay, they have to be ultimately confident walking into SoFi.
That was the McGahee game?
It was.
I hadn't put that together in my head. Oh, let's roll it. That might be the biggest hit in NFL history, RC. Take us through the play.
Hey, listen, the week before, the San Diego Chargers did the exact same thing, moving Darren Sproles over to the other side. I gave a little disguise greenie, and when I saw Willis McGahee come out the backfield, I said to myself, I'm going to start running forward, and I'm not going to stop until I feel his body. And that's exactly what I did. There was no blinking. There was no flinching, and you had to just go on and get it. Now, when I hit him, did it sound like somebody banged my head with a baseball bat? And all I could hear was, wah, and I go down and I grab my ears. Hell yeah. But when I got up, the first thing one of my teammates said was, hey, man, you got up first. We won.
Wow. That is a memorable play. You would be thrown out of the league right now instantaneously if you made that up in a game today. Third meeting. There's so many different things about this game that I think are fascinating. Should we touch quickly on the Matthew Stafford of it all before we get picks in this game? He gets a bit of a monkey off the back now with two playoff wins so far. Coming into the season, he had none. Sacho, does he need to win this week to justify whatever it is that needs to be justified?
No, he doesn't, because he's justified everything he's needed to justify. He justified coming in and winning a division. Hadn't done that in Detroit. Justified coming and winning a playoff game. Hadn't done that in Detroit. Now he's won two. So, yes, winning a Super Bowl this year would be great. And I'm not one of the guys to say there's always next year. But at the end of the day, this team is built to win now and also for the next few years. Their Super Bowl window is large. And so, no, it's not Super Bowl or bust for the LA Rams. I think Matthew Stafford has done phenomenal. Yes, I think they will win, but it's not Super Bowl or bust.
Well, so let's put the picks up there then, and you just gave us yours there. Sacho, you give me quickly, why do you like the Rams?
I like the Rams just because they have too many playmakers. That's kind of what I'm going back to. I'm usually the guy who's on the physical. San Francisco, they won six in a row. But then you look at it. Matthew Stafford can make plays. Cooper Kupp can make plays. OBJ can make plays. Defensively, Jalen Ramsey is one of the best DBs in the game, if not the best. Von Miller is finding his stride. And oh, by the way, Aaron Donald is the best defensive lineman. Playmaker after playmaker after playmaker. That's why I got the Rams.
RC, who you got?
I got the Los Angeles Rams as well. I just think it's their time. I think when you look at the way this defense found ways to make plays late in the game against Tampa Bay, obviously Matthew Stafford with the huge two plays to get it to field goal range, it just seems like their year. And everything is setting up for them to have an opportunity to get to the Super Bowl in their home stadium.
Graz, who you got?
49ers have the Rams number, beaten six times in a row, including a couple weeks ago just to get into the playoffs. Give me San Francisco.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's not just the two games this year, to your point, but they have won six straight matchups. Ninko, who you got?
I'm going with the Rams. I disagree with Acho. They have to win. They have to win a Super Bowl. If they don't win a Super Bowl,
they had to.
It doesn't matter. They brought him there to win a Super Bowl. They're going to win.
We'll see. Well, they need to win this weekend to give themselves a chance. If they do, they'll play each of their next two games in their own building. All right, we got great basketball coming your way tonight. I'll be back here tonight with the crew for NBA Countdown, getting you set for LeBron and the Lakers playing in Charlotte against the budding superstar LaMelo and the Hornets at 7:30 Eastern. Then we'll have the Knicks taking on Giannis and the Bucks. Again, NBA Countdown starts our night 7 Eastern here on ESPN and the ESPN app. Top of the hour, First Take coming your way. Is it Super Bowl or bust for the Rams? They'll talk about it. And what would another Super Bowl do for the legacy of Patrick Mahomes? First Take, Molly, Stephen A., RC, top of the hour here on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places. Meanwhile, tomorrow, 9th annual Big 12 SEC Challenge. 3 games. We got Baylor, Alabama. Then we got Kansas, Kentucky. And finish up your night with Tennessee and Texas. Going to be great tomorrow. And then, of course, we get to Sunday with the conference championship games. And then we'll be back here Monday. What will the headlines be that day? Dan Graziano.
Jimmy Garoppolo leads the 49ers to their second Super Bowl in 3 years. That's my headline.
In what would otherwise be his final game as their quarterback, which is a remarkable turn of events. Rob Ninkovich, what will the headline be on Monday morning?
The Bears fans are still struggling with who their head coach is. Eberflus? 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 I don't know. Who knows?
That's very well said. I hope the headline is that Ninko's captors relent and release him from
great fun. We will see you Monday. Enjoy the games. First Take now.